Now, before we go to the message, I want you to know the text is in Isaiah 55, and if you'd like to look that up in your Bible or on your device, please do so, Isaiah 55. And we'll be dwelling in the first 9 verses of Isaiah 55. Before we begin the message, though, we want to pray. And just particularly on our hearts again, as always, is Ukraine and the church in Ukraine. So would you join me, please, in lifting up people who don't know, who don't see, but the Lord Jesus knows them and He's there. Lord, we join with our sisters and brothers in Ukraine today and pray for them. May the Spirit of the Lord come upon them with power and protection. Oh Lord God, have mercy on Ukraine. And have mercy on Russia, the Russian people. We pray that you would turn back the tide of violence. Holy Spirit, come. Manifest yourself powerfully and remarkably there, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And bless us as we hear your word now. Amen. Does anybody else here struggle from time to time with low blood sugar? Wow, am I the only person? Or you just, yeah, okay. Okay, 3 of us. Oh, there's a 4. Okay, come forward. No. Yeah, special meeting for us. So when I haven't eaten for a while, and so this can be a fasting challenge for me and the people who live around me, I start to just, I feel, you know, washed out, easily tired, sometimes just can't focus, prone to depression at that point, and sometimes just a little snippy. You know, just a little snippy. Talk of protein or something. And at those times, I find that a junk food that I typically avoid and don't really have an appetite for becomes strangely attractive. Quick fix. Give me sugar. Or something. Nutritionists, of course, say that eating a good breakfast is vital and the most important meal of the day. So I do that dutifully. I eat a pretty big breakfast. I have my porridge every day. And the 3 bears being long gone, I just sit there and enjoy my porridge, not too hot. Not too cold, it's just right. And I take that in, and other things, and beautiful homemade cup of coffee, and so on. And I'm starting to fantasize about that. And that gets me going, it helps me get through the day. Well, I remember watching an interview with Donovan Bailey. Remember when Canadian sprinter won the gold medal at the Atlanta Olympics in the men's 100-meter race? And they were asking him, what did you eat for breakfast that day? And he said, well, the place where I was staying made me a beautiful big waffle. Not waffle, sorry, wrong thing. Omelette. It's an omelette. Makes more sense. And then, closer to race time, I had a cup of coffee. And I'm thinking, I could be an Olympic athlete then. You know, that'd be great. And of course, he won gold on his diet and his exercise. He did all the right preparation, brilliant. Brilliant athlete, but you probably don't get to Olympic glory on hot dogs and french fries. Routinely, anyway, maybe once in a while. Not junk food, but the right diet and the right exercise. And as I reflected on this passage this week and thought, how do we reflect the glory of God? And I've often found myself wishing, I wish I could do more to show other people the glory of God and His goodness. God is unknown by many people that I care about. And you do too. And we wish, don't we, that we had more gold medal moments where the glory of God shines out through us and other people see what God is like. And we want that for them, don't we? We want them to be in the race and headed for the finish line the right way. How do we begin? How do we sustain this? God sent a dinner invitation of sorts to his people through Isaiah in Isaiah 55. An invitation to come and eat well. And I'm going to read Isaiah 55, the first 9 verses. This is the New Living Translation, and it says, "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples? I made him a leader among the nations. He will also command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown to you will come running to obey. Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God's Word. He begins with a figure of speech here. Is anybody thirsty? Then he announces the supply. Come and drink. He points this out and says, in a sense, that God's fullness is freely given. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Now this, at this invitation, from God, is sometimes where the excuses not to come to the table begin. Jesus told a parable of a man who invited people to a banquet. It was a great, great big deal. And he set up the invitations, and the responses were like, "Sorry, not hungry, just bought some land, gotta go check out my real estate. Sorry, not hungry, just bought a new truck. Can't wait to get to the back country." Actually, it was awesome, but, "Or, sorry, just got married. I'm not hungry. Lost my appetite for food at the moment." And so this guy, the host, was furious at all these people. He'd been dismissed and treated badly, and he sent his staff out to collect as many people as he could find, but nobody else wanted to have over. And he tried to fill the banquet hall with guests, including people who had nowhere to go, nowhere to be, and were poor and hungry. In another place, Jesus preached, "God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. For the kingdom of heaven is theirs." Is anybody thirsty for God? Is anybody hungry for God? Now, Isaiah has already pointed out that the barrier that keeps us from God's table has already been taken down. He took down the barrier, Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. High costs for God's forgiveness been paid by the servant of the Lord, whom we know to be Christ himself, who came and took all humanity's sins, ours in particular today, died for us, rose again, and gives us freedom to come to God Anybody can see? The barrier's been removed. Alex Charton wrote an article on our natural instinct for wanting to drink water. And he points out our bodies are between 55-75% water. And apparently your brain and your heart are 73% water. Some mornings it's easy to believe that. And our lungs are 83% water. But he points out that in our busy lives, it's very easy to just not bother drinking water, to go on without. And so then what happens, apparently, physiologically, so the article says, is that the body starts to think, well, there's a scarcity. And so I won't drink because there's not more. And then our body tells us, you don't need water when we do. And so we dehydrate. And he points out then, when we forget to drink water, our blood pressure decreases, leads to weakness, dizziness, and fatigue. Our spirits also have a natural instinct to want God. We are created in His image, to want Him, to thirst for Him. But if we keep putting it off, or we get distracted by a junk food diet, spiritually, metaphorically speaking, or we invest in everything but thirsting for God, after a while our spirits go, oh, I'm good, I don't need that, you know. Or maybe, I'm an experienced Christian, I don't really need any input. And we become lost in our direction. We lose sight of His glory. What do we do about this then? The nation of Judah ran after other sources for fullness. They were literally worshiping idols, things people made. And the Lord spoke to this hunger for a quick fix for spiritual junk food. And he goes on to say something about God's fullness being finest. It's the finest thing. He says, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Apparently, the Hebrew term for spending or buying is shakal. It means weighed or weighing out. And it's the word from which they got shekel, money. And so here's this picture God is giving them of weighing out something of value to them and getting something that's corrupt, that's useless. Instead of coming to the free banquet with no cost. It doesn't make any sense at all, does it? Here, pay good money for something that's going to harm you, or come for nothing, free of charge, to this beautiful dinner. The Lord God is the ultimate host. He is perfectly hospitable. He's the one who invites us to Himself. Anybody thirsty? Come and drink. Why pay for food that does you no good? But God predicted that His people would fall into this trap. Right from the get-go, when Moses is giving the law the second time in Deuteronomy, he says, for I will bring them into the land I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. There they will become prosperous, eat all the food they want, and become fat. But they will begin to worship other gods. They will despise me and break my covenant. No, it doesn't make any sense. But God remains generous. Why look elsewhere for the finest? The finest. So now Isaiah is turning the metaphor into something practical. He's using a metaphor here. But now he talks about what it means. And he says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised David. David had been their great king, that God had blessed with a covenant. Thirst. Dissatisfaction is a call to action, but it's not a call to busy work here. It's to come and listen. First is a call to action, to come and listen. And to work, the word listen here means to listen with a view to acting on it or obeying the word. It is to listen intently. It's to sort of stretch your ear out and say, am I hearing this correctly? To be focused. It's not like casually listening to background music while you're doing something else. It's to be focused on Him. God spoke to Jeremiah about Israel's dismissal of God's voice. It says to Jeremiah that my people would not listen to me. They kept doing whatever they wanted, following the stubborn desires of their evil hearts. They went backward instead of forward. Are you thirsty? If you lost your thirst, thirst for God. So a changed world begins here. This is where the gold medal reward starts. Listening. Listen first, listen often. Listen first, listen often. In an article on prayer some years ago in a Christian business magazine, Mel and Susan Finley wrote this. Søren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, theologian, and author, has written, a man prayed that at first he thought that prayer was talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized prayer is listening. Well, we know this quote. And then I quote Lily Tomlin, the noted comedian, who put it very succinctly. Why is it when we talk to God, we're said to be praying, but when God talks to us, we're thought to be schizophrenic? Susan says she starts each day with a simple statement that is really a prayer. Servant Susan reporting for duty. Jesus told his disciples, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, listen. You may ask for anything you want, and it will be given. Listen first, listen often. This is where gold medal living, the glory of God, begins to shine. What would God satisfy his people with here? He says, come, I'm going to satisfy you. What with? What's going to happen? He says, the everlasting covenant and unfailing love he promised David. Sounds good, doesn't it? Something everlasting, something that doesn't wear out, and unfailing love that won't fail you. Well, that's pretty tall. That's big, isn't it? Unfailing love, everlasting covenant love that won't fail you. He says, that's what I'm going to give you. That's what I promised David and his household would last forever. They only need to come and listen with a view to believing and obeying. And if they did, he would pour out this covenant love to their lives as well. Just as he had shown his power to David, who had overwhelmed nations with more powerful armies. So God is promising to them, to Judah at this point, other nations would see God's power, he says, to them, in them. And other nations would run to them to want to obey God because of what they saw happening in Judah. The glory of God shining to them. Ooh, you love that? He's saying, when you listen to me, it's going to be attractive. It will be hard. That's another sermon. We've been down that road. But it will also be attractive. The nations are going to run and say, I want this. And he continues, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. I've made you glorious. Do you see the glory of God today when you look in the mirror? Before you had protein? Before you drank your coffee? He says, I have made you glorious by His presence. His presence in us. The glory of God shine in his people. Now, we look at the first five verses here, and we note that the covenant love of God is promised his people perpetually, and we've entered into that. We here today, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've submitted your life to God through Christ, you've entered into that through Christ. God's promise of everlasting love, unfailing love, and everlasting covenant to David is yours and mine through Jesus Christ. When the angel Gabriel visited Mary and told her she was going to have a boy, he said this: he will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. There it is, the fulfillment of his promise coming through Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and those who receive him have entered into this covenant of God's love, have become heirs of the promise of God. And it continues today. Now here's a snapshot that God gives us at the very end of the story. In Revelation, it continues the ultimate fulfillment of this. It says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message to the churches, for the churches. I am both the source of David, Jesus is saying, and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride, that's the church, say, come. Now listen. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life come. Is anybody thirsty? Jesus says, I perpetually and through eternity have this to give us, to give you this life that's refreshing, that's revitalizing, that's good. God is generous. His invitation to his table continues on. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop between Testaments. It doesn't stop after Testaments. It's eternal. It goes on and on. The stories of some men that were shipwrecked in the Atlantic Ocean. And they survived for days on a small raft, a life raft. They ran out of water, of course. They knew that to drink the salt water would increase their thirst and drive them crazy. And so they avoided it, agonizing for some days. They eventually saw a ship approaching, and as it pulled alongside, they said, please give us something to drink. One of the sailors said, drink some water around you. They thought he was mocking them, trying to entice them, being completely rude. But in fact, while they were out of sight of land, they were in the mouth of the mighty Amazon River, which pushes fresh water out a long way. And they could literally have had a drink from what was there all around them. And so the presence of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus invites us perpetually. Come and drink. I'm here. I'm all around. Listen first. Listen often to his word. And so we eat heartily, first of all. We eat heartily from his banquet. We take it in. We gain the appetite. We keep feeding it. Come and listen well. His glory begins with listening to him. Listening. Not more busy work. But you could eat a world-class healthy diet. You could eat what Donovan daily ate and be dead last. Because he didn't exercise. Right? You could eat the best preparatory food, best diet. You're not going to meddle. You have to train. came to influence our world, we can take in the Word of God. We can stay through the church. We can take in the Word. That's vital. That's central. We've seen that. You also have to exercise it. Or, who benefits? And what we do is exercise humility. That's the spiritual exercise here. He says in verses 6 and 7, seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. This word seek means to seek carefully. And to call on the Lord is to acknowledge our desperate dependence on him. Seek him, call on him. Exercise humility. Our spiritual exercise is to leave the junk food table or the junk food aisle of your life. You can seek in fullness through quick fix cultural trends or junk food like that sort of thing, metaphorically speaking. Instead of being attentive to Christ himself, he invites us to call on him. I'm sure this happens to all of us from time to time. Recently, the Holy Spirit pointed something out in my heart and said, that, right there? Yeah, you don't need that. Well, I kind of like that. No, you don't need to believe that. If I shared where it is, you'd say, well, that's no big deal. In a way, yes. But sometimes the Spirit of God zeroes in on something and says, that's junk food, man. I got a better diet for you. I said, okay, right. Thanks for clarifying that. And I pray that out of the diet, that it takes ongoing spiritual discipline to invite the Holy Spirit to replace that. You might not be distracted by other junk food. Maybe you're just a news junkie. You gotta know. What are they going on in the world? And the more you know, the more you don't know. Or maybe it's a TV series. I'm not anti-TV. I have no series. We'll talk about that another day. Or maybe it's got to see the latest movie. Or got to be on TikTok. Or maybe, you know, you kind of worship your phones. That's where you live. You're always on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I can't believe what famous people put on Twitter. I don't care what you had for breakfast. I care what I had for breakfast, I told you. Stuff that doesn't matter. Stuff that is almost addictive, it seems. Sports. I like sports. Wow. Groupies. Your friend group that you worship instead of Jesus. Or that you want to worship you. Maybe. Or like you. So much you're willing to ignore Jesus for them. Or the latest ad for trucks. You know, those things, not all bad themselves at all, but they become the focus, become the diet, instead of us listening to God. So in case we think we don't need to listen to him, or we wonder, perhaps there's two sides to this, aren't there? You can say, well, you know, I'm good. I've got lots of experience in this Christian life. I'm good. Thanks. Thanks, Lord. I'm good. I've got this now. You don't say that ever, but that can happen. Don't need to listen. Thanks. I get it. Yeah. I know. Or, on the other hand, you might live with this feeling of perpetual, I should be ashamed because I have failed in my life. Yeah, and that's another kind of junk food diet. Condemnation. And to us, then, God says this, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. His ways are always right, always righteous. Perfect. And they always include a ton of compassion. His thoughts, not our thoughts. Listen to David's song of praise to the Lord. He said, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." You ever seen the Northern Lights? God through Christ removes your sin way farther than that. You ever seen the Milky Way? God through Christ has taken your sin way farther than that. See a bright moon some morning in the sky, you've gone through a walk, it's getting harder. You gotta get clearer these days, right? Way farther away from that, God is taking every condemnation from you. Through Jesus Christ, he has taken that to the cross. So, last week, Donna shared a word of wisdom that I think is so important to repeat. A word the Lord gave her: our greatest gift to the next generation is not to teach them an evangelical lifestyle, but to live so passionately for Jesus ourselves and so full of grace for others that they will want to walk with Jesus like we do. Listen first. Listen often. Listen first. Listen often. This is where God's glory begins to shine to us. I always wish I could do more. It's a thing. Maybe you do. Always wish we could do more to see God introduced to the world introduced to God. Not just because of fear of failure, but we care. We genuinely care about the needs of our world. We want to see people meet Jesus. But Jesus told his Father that he had brought glory to him by completing the work the Father had given him to do. It's in John 17, verse 4. Now, there's a part of my dark little heart when I read that that says, really? Come on. There were still thousands of sick people. And hungry people, and poor people, and some troubled by demons. What? He just did what the Father gave him to do. Busyness in itself does not produce God's glory. Frantic service is not the same as faithfulness or fullness. Just be in Christ's presence to be Christ's presence. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Listen first to the Lord. Listen often. This will help you become more thirsty. See, this isn't a thirst we work at quenching. This is a different kind of thirst. The more you thirst for him, the thirstier you get. But it's a good kind of thirst. It's a longing that he perpetually satisfies with his presence, with himself. So how do we do this? How do we listen to God? How do we nurture the thirst? Here are some things. We can go on the link, but here are a few things. Make a quiet time your priority. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God doesn't say, if you don't meet me at 6 a.m. for an hour, I'm not showing up. You know, this is on my schedule. Maybe you're a parent with little children, and quiet time, you say, oh, here we go again. No. It's not like that. Maybe you've got once a week where you could just be quiet. And someone is probably enjoying you, and you have just time to be quiet. Some time to be quiet. To meet, just meet the presence of God. And then tell God what you want to hear from him. Tell him you want to hear from him. Ask him to protect your thoughts. Because God speaks through creation. We're camping. sit by the creek, sit on your deck, look out the window. Ultimately, God speaks through His Word, whatever else you think God is saying, it needs to be filtered by what His Word said. God speaks through His Son. The Son is the perfect representation of the Father, it says in Hebrews 1. God speaks through His Spirit as we prayerfully listen. God speaks through His people as the gifts of the Spirit operate. God speaks through dreams and visions sometimes. I know a lot of them are just bad peace in the night before. But sometimes God does prompt and clarify. Keith Anderson tells of playing intramural volleyball. And he got, as a little older person, he could compete with the college students quite well until one day he came down on his ankle wrong and heard a tap. And he said the pain was like nothing he'd ever experienced before. But it was better once they put the cast on. He said that cast removed that sharpest pain. And then he said, after the waves of pain subsided, he found that another thought started to obsess for him. He said, this was just annoying. It ruined my schedule. Walking around, he said, I tried to just walk around normally with this 8-pound cast on my leg and keep doing what I was doing. I didn't understand the slow process of recuperation. I resented it and initially tried to live as if I weren't carrying around an 8-pound cast on my leg until a wise friend reframed this for me and said, don't miss the voice of God in this time of healing. God has your attention now while your life is only in first or second gear. Quit fighting it and use your slow pace to listen. Keith concludes, God spoke to me in the very real events of my life. There was no burning bush physically aflame before my eyes, no audible voice breaking through the heavens and intoning a word to my ears, but I was given the challenge to listen to God in the midst of my ongoing biography. Listen first. Listen first. Listen often. God's fullness is freely given. God's fullness is the finest. Be heartily at His table. Exercise humility. Listen first. Join with me, would you please, in listening prayer? There's much on our plates, Lord, so to speak. Show us what should be scraped into the trash. We're listening for the Spirit. Put your finger on the junk food in our diet. Come and replace that with your finest, free fullness. We banish those things that are the wrong diet. Help us as we exercise humility as receivers who listen first, who listen often. Transform us, Lord. We are informed. May we be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit. Transform us individually. Transform us in our households. Transform us in our church. Transform the Christian community in our city, in our country, in our world. Transform us. Help us listen first and show the glory of the Lord. To a hungry people, but first help us thirst well, and keep feeding the thirst at your fountain of life.